You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This show is brought to you in part by James Spangler.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hello, this is Carlin Schneider from Levin, Oregon. Stalkers. And you're listening to That Story Show. And if you're not allowed to listen to That Story Show, consider listening to Nobody's Listening.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 308, brought to you the week of August 15th, 2019. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and my good friend is here.
Your good friend Johnny Stein from down the block is here as well.
All right.
That's me, just in case you're wondering.
How's your week been, man? Crazy?
Oh, man. Let me just say yes.
School's starting back up and everything.
Back to school.
And you work for a school?
I'm the IT guy for the school now.
Boo.
And a lot of people have
a lot of people have what?
IT, information technology needs, you know?
Yeah. I think your internet needs information technology needs too, but that's all right. I'm very excited because school has almost started on my side of things. Like my kids are almost completely done installing themselves into school, and by that I mean we've been going to open houses and info meetings and new parent orientations. Yes, and the last one I think was last night, and Jenna starts school tomorrow, and then after that I think there's one more back to school picnic. And then it's just scheduling, and that mostly means me just driving them to school and picking them up. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't. No, just kidding. It sounds like great times.
Yeah, life's great like times. That. Hey, before we get too far into the show, I want to thank some people. I want to thank Hannah and Cameron from Dubai because they sent me a package and it had Legos in it.
What?
And it had dates in it and it had cookies and coffee all from Dubai. Oh,
that's so awesome.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That is cool. That's UAB, right? Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates.
Right.
So
I got a camel. A Lego camel, except it's not real Legos. It's some, you know, it's not Legos, but
it's Dubai Legos.
Yeah. And the dates
are really cool.
We're filled with nuts and things.
Probably made out of oil.
Yeah. And the cookies were date filled as well. So they must eat a lot of dates over there.
Yeah.
So
haven't you watched Aladdin?
I haven't, but I did see in Back to the Future, also known as Return of the Last Jedi. No. what movie am I thinking of?
I don't know.
It's got a guy swings on a whip. What's that movie called?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones with the bad dates. That's the only thing I could think of. Man, that took a long time.
We had a couple of the characters right in there, at least.
Yeah.
Han Solo was there.
I knew what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to thank Tammy Edwards for my birthday stuff. She gave me a little buzz and stickers and a card, and the card had money in it for my birthday. It was so awesome. So thanks, Tammy Edwards. You're the best. Am I back yet?
Yes.
Okay. I just said Tammy Edwards is the best.
I agree. And I would love to thank Tammy Edwards because she's the best.
She sent me stuff for my birthday. It was great. So
now, was that other stuff from Dubai for your birthday or just because?
It was just because. I didn't even know it was coming. It was just
super cool.
It was just there. So we always start with an opening story, and this one's from Sarah in Montana. It's called Crazy Dog, and we've all known a crazy dog. When you're little, dogs can be scary if they're bigger than you. So this is kind of what that's about.
And crazy.
When I was probably 10 or 11 years old, I had a neighbor who had an extremely hyper and overactive huge German Shepherd named Roscoe. Is there any other kind? Because we had a German Shepherd named Dingo when I was a kid, and we had to get rid of him.
Dingo?
Dingo had to get, we had to give him away to another family because he was just so aggressive. Not in a mean way, just like an overly playful way, you know? But anyway, one night a huge storm blew through the neighborhood and knocked a bunch of huge tree limbs down, and one of the limbs landed on a chain link fence, bending it down quite severely. This fence was one we shared with Roscoe's owners. So the next day, me and my sisters, who were probably 8 and 6 at the time, we were playing outside, and Roscoe comes out.
Ba-da-bum.
We like Roscoe, but we're kind of nervous because he's big, and when he's never had access to us before. So Roscoe also likes us, and he likes us so much he finds the bent part of the fence and crosses over. Several things happen next all at the same time. Roscoe jumps over the fence and starts ambling toward us.
Ambling?
Ambling. Immediately, we all start screaming like we're going to die because Roscoe is very friendly. The only bad thing that would have happened would be him licking our faces, but we didn't know that at the time. Anyway, my first thought was to run inside and grab my mom, so I abandoned my two younger sisters. They yelled at me for that later.
No, don't leave us with the dog.
Don't do it. And I start running like my life depended on it, and not like his sister's lives depended on it, just his.
No.
Yeah. And I found my mom, and I yelled at Roscoe, jump the fence, and he's going to get my sister. So she walks with me back outside. Note that she walks back outside. And we both find my sister screaming at the top of the slide while Roscoe is trying to climb up the ladder. Stupid dog. Don't think, no, dogs don't climb ladders unless they've been special.
Roscoe does.
They got to be specially trained. But his tail was wagging like crazy, wanting to play with them and eat their faces. To sum things up, our neighbor got curious about the screaming and saw what happened and came and got Roscoe. For a month after this, we did not go near the fence, and it took us a long time to warm up to that crazy giant dog. That's from Sarah in Montana. I hope they fix the fence, too.
Yeah, because, you know, up in Montana, they have huge yards.
Yeah, and good fences make good neighbors.
I heard that once. Was that in a poetry?
I made it up. I made it up. Okay. Just now.
I believe you.
It's totally me. It's time for our weekly rewind. Let's do that. And if you ever call me a liar again, under your breath.
What?
I'm voting you off the show.
I didn't say that.
I heard you. You said that. I heard you.
What? I don't think I did, but maybe it's subconscious.
Maybe you sent it to me subconsciously, but I did. I made that up myself just now.
Okay.
Okay, so it's now weekly rewind time, and I want to hear yours first because mine's long and boring.
Okay. I see that in the notes here. I was like, man, I'm going to have a little really lame one compared to you. But here we go. So being the job that I have, you know, I attend funerals at times for people who pass away.
Just for fun.
For families. Yeah, sometimes for fun. It's kind of like a sport, you know, pastors, they just kind of get around and they attend random funerals and
shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's some people crash weddings. I crash funerals. There you go. Little thing you didn't know about me, but actually none of that's true. But I do. I did have to have the opportunity to attend a funeral of a family member of one of our church members here, and she had lived a long, wonderful life. I think she was like in close to 90, and just an awesome lady. I visited her in the hospital once, and she was just a real sweet lady and stuff. So I was sad to see her go. But they were having the ceremony here at the church, and I was running the sound and the lights and all the stuff that, you know, the media nerds do. And I was sitting in the back, so that's where I sit, is in the very back, so kind of out of the way, so people can't
You're not supposed to be noticed.
Right. Because, you know, that's what we do. But there's other people that like to sit back there, too. Sound guy, sometimes the administrator, the business administrator, pastor, he came back there and sat with me too, because he just, you know, didn't want to be in the way and just wanted to be there.
Right.
The thing about this guy, we'll call him Chad, because that's his name. And he's funny guy, and he loves to just little one-liner comments, you know, kind of under his breath, right? Just kind of, you know, he'll say things and stuff. So the different people are eulogizing the lady who had passed away, and a young gal, one of her granddaughters, got up to read a poem, and she goes up and she's sniffling and she's like, you know, stuff, and she says, "I'm going to do this without crying," and Chad he says under his breath, "It's too late." So yeah, he says that.
They always say that while they're crying. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do this without crying. And he's like, "Yeah, too late." She's already crying. And so I was like, "Oh no, you didn't just do that, because I have to remain, you know, calm and serious and
yes,
and reverent. And I'm in the back of the room. So, you know, I don't want to make any noise and people turn and look at me." So I start laughing, but I'm able to, you know, keep it in the quiet laugh. I'm like, if I just put my face down and don't look at Chad ever, I'll be okay. And, you know, like when you're trying to hold back the giggles and you look over at the other person,
yes,
they're still laughing from it, and yeah, it makes you laugh harder. So I look down into the ground, I close my eyes, and I just stop thinking about it. But what's happening is every time this girl, every time she's reading this poem, she sniffles and starts to cry. And then I hear his voice inside my head say, "It's too late." So I laugh.
So you're ruined. I mean, it's ruined.
I didn't draw any attention that I know of, but it was a very difficult time.
It's the worst, and people don't understand. But when you're a minister, you know, it's not that you're being disrespectful or anything. It's just there are some things that happen commonly at funerals, and it's just how you deal with it, you know. Am I gone again?
You are back. It's like when you ask if you're gone again.
Oh, it's like, back, whoops, so. Whoops.
Yep.
Okay. No, I was just saying that, that people don't know how hard it is sometimes, as a minister or somebody that works around funerals and weddings and stuff like that. And it's their special time and their very special moment. And And then some dork will do something and it ruins the whole thing for you. You're trying to keep a sober face and trying to be nice and respectful, and it's hard. Somebody
fortunately,
says something.
There's enough distance between the back row and where we were sitting that I think we went unnoticed. So,
I just have to get up and leave sometimes. Like, I'm terrible at weddings. I cry through the whole things, and funerals. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral. Can't really? Understand what I mean. Well, you soon will. I mean, that's, I just get, I watch people and I don't laugh at them. I don't know. I'm just a morbid guy, I guess. I don't know.
Do you have a history of losing your shirt?
I do. It's been a long time. And I'm waiting till you say you're sorry.
It's only just a few more days.
Just a few more weeks. Now my weekly update happened just the other day. We went to Cracker Barrel.
Lovely.
Which is probably the whitest restaurant in America.
Well, that's why they call it the Cracker Barrel, right?
I really believe that with all my heart. They're not that I haven't seen people of color in the restaurant. I'm just saying I saw a shirt that looked like a hoodie on the top, and it had a logo of some local college team on it. And then at the bottom half, it's like somebody just sewed lace on there. And I'm like, my daughter even said it before I did. I wanted to say, what white person got all of this? And she's like, she says, how could somebody ruin a hoodie like this? And it did. It looked thuggish from the shoulders up, and it looked like grandma from the waist down. And I don't know who would buy that. But I was only looking because my daughter goes in there and she freezes every time we go in there. She's cold. And I feel bad for her, but then I don't, because I'm like, you're ninth grade. You know we're going out. Put on a jacket. And so I was looking for jackets. And then when I saw that one, I was like, yeah, let's get her in this. Let's get her in this now. Let's get her in this one.
Did you get it for her?
No, I did not, because it was probably $25. And I'd rather have a squishy T-Rex hand puppet. So, yeah, you know. No, but so I'm sitting there, and I'm on a special diet right now. I'm doing the keto diet. And so that means I can't have a lot of the sides with my meal. So I get chicken tenderloins grilled. Right. And they say, well, okay, two sides. And I'm like, can I just have two side salads? And she's like, okay, sure. And usually what they'll do is they'll bring one out early, and then they'll bring the second one out with my meal. So it's not as ridiculous as it sounds. They actually do it pretty regularly, like a normal person. But this time, this lady did what I always wish they would have done. She dumped both of them together in a big bowl and brought it out. And I had I just had one big salad, and I'm eating it. And after I tell you what I'm about to tell you, you're going to wonder these things. You're going to wonder, was he eating it with much joy? Was he eating it as if he hadn't eaten in a while? Did he have his elbows up on the table and his head ducked down into the bowl, so to keep the fork to bowl to mouth ratio distance down to a minimum? And I'm going to answer all those right now and say, no, I don't believe I did. But this lady comes walking by. You know, we have a shirt in the store at nlcast.com, and it's made for me, and I don't own one. I just made it so other people can buy it. It just says, talk stupid to me, because that's apparently what my face says to people. And so this lady comes hobbling by, and she's hobbling because she's an older lady, and she is a larger lady, and she's kind of working it to get the momentum to walk past me. Okay. Okay. I'm just trying to be nice. And she looks at me and she smiles and she says, I really like salad.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to say. I've got a fork full of salad. I was about to put it in my mouth. And so what I said was, well, it is good for you. And I felt so stupid. I'm like, that just happened. I just said that. And she goes on about her way. And my family's kind of looking at me. I'm like, what? Was there something else I should have said? Was there a better thing for me to have said? Because I don't know how you respond to that. And because I'm like, did I look like I was eating it like too fast? Because she didn't say, it looks like you really like salad. She said, I really like salad.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do was have come back with, I was thinking about it in the car. I'm like, I should have had some sort of snarky, witty comeback.
Yeah.
And but I don't want to come across like a butthead on my podcast. So what I decided to do instead was come up with the top 10 Christian things that I could have said back to this lady.
Okay.
So that's what I've got with. Top 10. All right. So at number 10, the response to I really like salad should have been, yes, amen, sister.
Nick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Number 9, we could just be a simple, I receive it, sister. I receive it. You know, I really like salad. I do too, by God. Bless God. I mean, so another one could have been number 3. I don't know if we're counting up or down anymore. I've lost track already. Number 3 would be, she says, I really like salad. I could have said, would you like to sit down and share in God's bounty with us? You know,
come and receive it. Yeah, again.
Just receive the bounty. And number 4 would be, you look like you could use some yourself. Oh, how'd that get in there? Whoops.
So wrong.
I'm sorry. That one's not that the top 9 things that a Christian could say. Sorry.
Take that one out.
Yeah, let me really release that one back into the wild. another one I thought of is but don't you wish it were bread and fish instead, sister? Don't you wish that it was blessed, yes, by the hand of Jesus himself? Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 7, 6 would be, take a seat, pull up a chair, let's say a prayer. That would have been a good thing to have said to her.
Yes, pull up a chair, let's say a prayer.
And or number 7, I really like salad. Do you, Mildred? God knows your heart. You know, are you lying to me, woman? And number 9 or 8 would have been, praise God from whom all salads flow. Praise him.
Praise him, all dressings here below.
So yeah, these are Christian things, croutons, that I would have said instead of being mean, and it's so much easier to be mean. And then another one, number 2 would have been just simply really turning it on its heel and getting really sanctificatious and religious and saying, are you coveting, Mildred? Are you being prideful? Like, I really like salad. You think you like salad, James? I like salad. You just need hobble your way on down to the bathroom, Mildred. And, it's like,
buy yourself a hoodie with lace on it.
The most Christian thing I could have said and should have said instead of what I did say, which was just, it's good for you. I should have said, she said, I really like salad. And I could have said, well, I really like you. Let's be friends. Let's make friends over this salad, you 95-year-old woman. You.
I like you. That, you know, I think you're onto something. You need to have a comeback. Not necessarily a comeback, but something to say when
somebody says something weird to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I had this similar instance last week. Maybe I should change my weekly rewind to this. A lady that I know from church, she came into the Chick-fil-A where Johnny works because her daughter works there too. And she's approaching us to say hello, she mentions that she doesn't have any makeup on. And I always feel like I need to respond. And as I was going through things to respond with, I'm like, I shouldn't say anything at all. So I don't think I did. But I talked to my wife about this afterwards, and I was like, I don't know what to say. And she said, well, you probably don't need to say anything. But I did come up with a good response, and that is, I don't have any on either.
Ah,
so
there you go.
Now I know what to say if a lady says, I don't have any makeup on. I can say, well, I'm not wearing any either.
No, I think they really want to hear that I couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's what they want to hear. That's what, that's all you have to do is figure out what somebody wants you to say. And that's the problem with the I really like salad lady is I didn't know if she was dissing me. Like, boy, you really like that salad. Or if she, what did she want to hear in return? What ice was she breaking?
I couldn't tell. That's what, yeah. I really couldn't tell.
No, I have no idea. Yeah. It looks like you need some. Here, you take it. So
let it fill you.
Let it fill you up, but overflowing. Yeah. So as you waddle away, waddle to the very next day. Bum 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 bum.
Oh no.
Anyway.
You can't sing that.
It's time for us to do some giveaways. Last week we read three stories, three responses because of the bra badger situation. If you don't know, go back a couple episodes and listen. And we had Target Lady by Liam. We had bra badger backstory, but from Samantha, and Brazier Bedlam from Lucas. And according to the internets and the poll that we posted on the NLCast community group.
I'm drum rolling.
Yeah, the $20 Steam gift card is going to Lucas Kirk. So congratulations.
That congratulations. Was Lucas Kirk? I thought that was an old lady.
Yeah! Woohoo! You go, Luke! Yeah! Woohoo! Okay, enough of that.
Was that Mortal Kombat?
I don't know. Don't say that. I might get sued.
Oh, I mean, was that a well-known video game that was ultra-violent back in the late 90s?
I don't know. I have no
early
idea.
Early 90s? When did it come out? Early 90s. That came out when I was in high school.
I like what Mike in Michigan wrote, though. He sent in our only email vote, and he voted. He says, I don't have a Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. I live in a hole in the ground with internet, but I wanted to vote because it's super fun for me that someone remembered my story about the sweater puppies all these years later. So I vote for that one. Since she didn't want the Steam code, though, I say give it to the host choice. So Mike in Michigan, thank you for writing in and submitting your vote. And we're going to give it to Lucas, who talked about the bra badgers eating skin tags, which is grosser than gross.
That I forgot about that part. Thanks.
All right. It's time for a new segment. It's called Human Lie Detector. That's right. John, is your turn to tell me a truth or a lie, and it's my job and my turn to decide if you're telling the truth or the lie. I get to ask several questions, but you get to start it. So,
okay. Well, I'm hooked up to the machine right now, so I will begin with my truth or lie. So
lie.
Some years ago, you can't say that yet. Now I might have to tell the truth. I mean,
okay. Go for it. Go good for one. It.
Did the meters read? I don't even know. So some years ago when I was a schoolboy at a Christian school in Florida, I was in the midst of taking a test to which I thought I knew most of the answers, and I proceeded to answer with the best knowledgeable and choice that I could. With each answer that I gave, I hoped that I was answering correctly. And I had a couple questions on some of the questions that were needing answers. Gosh, that sounds redundant. And I wasn't too sure if I was absolutely right. You know, like sometimes when you take a test, you just know.
Yeah.
Right? You just, you know. Well, a couple of them I just wasn't sure about. And my desk was really close to the teacher's desk. And I happened to look over on her desk, not intentionally, but just kind of because I have wandering eyes, I guess. I don't know. And I saw the test key right there, right in plain sight, open in view for me to be able to behold. And I happened to scan such a test key, and I saw the answers to the questions that I was unsure about. And sure enough, I was right. But I was so racked with guilt that I knew that I was right, but I wasn't right, and I didn't know if I deserved the answer. So I erased my answer, and I put, I think it was multiple choice, I put the wrong answer because I saw the right answer on the test.
Okay, wait, let me get this straight. So you had answered the question.
Yes.
You were pretty sure you were right.
But I wasn't sure. Wasn't sure.
You looked over and found a test key.
Yeah.
And confirmed that indeed you had gotten the right answer.
Yes.
But then felt so bad about it that you changed your correct answer on your test.
Yes.
That sounds like something you would do. But I'm going to call bullcrap.
Are you going to call bullcrap?
Yes. Because if you did that, I'm going to hang up on you and we're never going to speak again because that is so dumb.
I don't know how to answer now.
Please tell me you didn't do that. Please, John, I'm begging you, man. We've been friends for a long time.
I want to be your friend. I don't want you to think I'm some snooty.
Did you seriously do that?
I did. I felt so bad. I didn't intend to cheat. It was an accidental.
Oh my gosh, John! You're such a nerd. I don't even want to be a Christian anymore. You're so freaking. Your soul is bleached white.
Oh no! There's enough crap in me now.
Oh my gosh!
I'm sure it stinks.
All right, well, I gotta let you go now. It's been a good run.
Oh, okay,
John. Yeah. Really?
I didn't. Yeah, yeah.
You changed your answer to the wrong answer on purpose. It wasn't enough for you to just be like, "Hey, at least I got it right." And then just quit looking and move on with your life like a normal kid would do. I actually, let me just say that I think a normal kid would have kept cheating. A good kid would have said, oh, I got that right, but I can't look at any others. I'm going to move on. Well. But John, super good kid.
No,
I'm a bad kid. I've got to change that. I'm going to change it to the wrong answer. Punish myself. You're like freaking Dobby the house elf who beats his head against the wall every time he talks bad about his masters. Bad Dobby! Bad Dobby! You don't even know what I'm talking about because you don't know anything about Harry Potter. So you're a bad John! Oh my gosh.
I was in middle school.
I'd have got 100. That's what I'd have got.
I remember thinking, if she saw me accidentally look over there, she's going to think that I cheated. So I can't, you know, let her know that I did cheat. So
were you just a bundle of nerves? Your whole childhood, did you just worry about things? I worry for you.
It's all normal to me, so I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a true story.
So convicted. Okay, so okay, so Jesus is dying on the cross, right? Okay?
Yes.
And he's like, just for a second, just in the back of his mind, a little bit of that Garden of Gethsemane crap comes creeping back into his head. And he says, am I doing the right thing? And he looks up to heaven and it's just before God turns his back on him and God's like, yeah, you're doing the right thing. If it was John instead of Jesus, John would have jumped off the cross and said, well, I have to do it wrong now because I was doing it right and I confirmed it.
No. Well, that's probably why I am not the savior of the world.
Thankfully. You're better. Are you saying you're better than Jesus now?
No. How did I say it? That's why I'm not the savior. That's why.
Because you're too good. You were too good for the job. That's what you're saying.
No.
I understand. I get what you mean.
I'm unworthy to even untie.
I really like salad.
It doesn't show. It does.
See, at least
I forgot what the right answer was.
Trying to be Christian. I really like you. That's what you're supposed to say.
That's right.
I really like you. All right, let's do some listener stories. That was great. Nobody's going to listen to your story today because everybody's wondering about John as a child and what was wrong with him.
What's wrong with him?
You really did that.
I did. You know, it
stuck with you for all these years, too.
And it's funny, I didn't remember it until I was walking through the halls at the school the other day, and I was like, I remember when I was their age. Oh, I almost cheated.
So. I anti-cheated. I got it right and then used my cheating skills to do worse on my test. Wow.
To do worse.
That's great.
I was so racked with conviction.
I don't know. That's beyond conviction.
I didn't fail the test if that, you know, I guess.
It's good, right? I'm sure the devil feels conviction once in a while. He's like, man, what have I done? I have just once in a while, it's all got to catch up with him. And he's just like, yeah, but I'm so deep in it now. There's no going back, you know. But if he had John's mentality, he'd just be like, oh, I can make this right. I'll just be good, but still burn in eternity forever. It'll be okay.
So, anyway, wow.
I don't know. I'll just stop being bad now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry for making fun of you, John. You really do impress me, but in a really weird way.
Made fun of.
So
I judge myself. My inner critic judges me enough, so I don't have to deal with it. So,
all right, listener stories. This is called Wet Blanket from Mama Boys, and never has a title fit a story so well. I recently went to a Christian camp as a counselor. On the last night of camp, the kids get to watch a movie on the floor of the gym and bring snacks and blankets. One of the boys, third grade, had a crush on one of the girls in fifth grade from a different church, but they were on our team at camp. So the two of them had come up with a plan to lay next to one another next to the movie and watch it together, along with the 400 other kids that came to camp. First of all, no way. No. Mm-mm. That's never happening in under my watch. But anyway, it's not my group of kids, so the story goes on. During the time, 3 to 4 adults were supervising, and the other counselors are in the cafeteria munching on chicken wings. So I had heard rumors of this epic movie date and decided to check on them before I joined the other adults. Sure enough, the two Twitter-pated kids were lying side by side. No, they ain't. Not in my... Mm-mm. Nope.
Side by side.
Side by side. No way. But nothing but a foot between them. So I plopped myself, she says, right down between them and settled in for the movie. Well, good for you, because
yeah.
I would have wrung that boy's neck and had him way on the other side eating salad somewhere. So I really like salad. After protests of you're ruining everything and we wanted to watch it together, I had mercy on the young couple. Nope, not me. And moved to a seat where we could all see one another. Throughout the movie, she would lay her hand in the gap between them in the hopes that he would take her hand. I was a damp blanket by threatening to sit between them if hand-holding happened. Good. You could have just removed one of them from the premises and made them watch it through a closed door. Anyway, then he was getting uncomfortable and she offered him her pillow. I hopped right up and found an alternative for that one, which was a spare blanket. And I left to join the adults when the young man got more interested in the movie than the girl. He pretty much ignored her for the rest of camp. And that's what you get for being a fifth grader and liking a third grade guy.
What?
Mama boys. So
that's insane.
That's great. That is what you get.
Yeah.
Third grade boys have attention spans and
like a beagle.
She's a fifth grader. She was trying her best. Use all her feminine ways. I got ways you don't know nothing about. I got
this. I'm going to hold my hand.
I'm going to put my hand in the middle and not a foot between us. And he's just going to slip his hand right on over on top of mine. And true love will happen.
When I was in third grade, I didn't even know anything about holding
no,
hands.
No, I didn't either. Yeah, you know, we're watching Princess Bride for the 14th time. True love. True love. Is there anything better than true love? True love. I don't know. All right. So that was from Mama Boys. John, take us somewhere else.
All right. We got a great story here from Tiny from the Earth Oddity podcast in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Woo-hoo.
And this is called Scammed by God. Ooh. Do I have to read like an Alabaman?
If you want to, but he really does sound like that. So
does he?
He might get very offended.
Well, listen, Alabama's neighbor to Georgia.
I know.
So, I mean,
they're also rivals.
That's true. They do make fun of each other.
Yeah.
They make jokes on each other. I won't. I'll just read it. My name is Tiny, and I'm also a podcaster who really enjoys That Story Show, and the Red School Bus is okay, too.
Awesome.
My story. Thank you, Tiny. That's a good plug there because Red School Bus is awesome. My story is about a time I bought a Blue Yeti microphone off Facebook Marketplace. For those of you not in the know, Facebook Marketplace is a very handy tool where you can buy and sell things that people's like a yard swap type thing.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you can also get murdered.
Really?
No.
Okay. I didn't know that was for sale on Facebook.
No, it's not. It's just scary. I for some reason, think it's scarier than Craigslist. But
really?
Yeah.
Because, like, the people selling it, you can see all their
friends.
I know.
It's creepy to me.
It is creepy indeed. But anyways, anyway. I find it handy. In fact, I just bought a bike off Facebook Marketplace. My son did.
I bought a Westinghouse television. So
you might want to give it back. Anyways, the dude wound up being in my neighborhood. It was awesome. And it's a great bike, too. It's a great price. So thanks, dude. Anyways, I typically record my podcast or record with a Zoom H6 digital recorder.
Ooh, I have the H4N.
Are you familiar with the H6?
I am not. It's better than mine. Mine's the H4N. So it's a few H6. Years old, but it still works great.
Yeah. Well, when he tries to use his as a USB interface, it makes his voice sound abnormally deep, like he's in the witness protection program or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that sounds like. That's just what I just made up. So I've been wanting to pick up a USB microphone for some time now to use when I record with other podcasts over Google Hangouts or Skype or whatnot. So I found a used Blue Yeti mic that a guy was willing to sell for $50.
That's good.
And I believe those Blue Yetis, they usually go for over $100. So
yeah,
that sounds like a good deal. So we planned to meet in the parking lot at the local Target at 9 a.m. the next morning. I didn't know. Do they have Targets in Alabama?
That's what awesome. What are you trying to say?
Well, the only Targets I've ever heard about in Alabama was the ones that you shoot guns at.
I knew there was a dig. I knew it.
I'm sorry, Tiny. That was just a joke. It's not a very good one.
It's that turkey shoot, man. That's where you go to get a target.
Anyway. Hey, man, we got targets. We got targets all down the range, man. So he woke up the next day, and he had to stop by the bank to get some money on the way to Target. So he got his $50 cash. So, I mean, because who carries cash, right?
No, nobody in Alabama.
No, they don't, apparently. So he messaged the guy, and he told me to look out for an old beat-up Honda. I parked my car, step out, prop up on the hood, and wait for a Honda to pull up. When sure enough, looking beaten down Honda pulls up right beside me. Guy rolls down the window, and I ask him, "Hey, man, you got my mic?" The guy answers and says, "No, man, I don't have no mic, but I'll tell you what I do got, and that's needs." And I asked the man, "Hey, are you the guy I've been talking to on Facebook?" And he tells me that he is.
Ugh.
Then he proceeds to tell me all about his problems and how he's homeless and hungry and don't have any gas in his car, and that God has placed me here in order to help him and do God's will. At this point, I'm thinking he's a guy who lied to me in order for to meet him with cash so he can give me a made-up sob story and give him some money.
I said, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yes, I became furious. I told him how mad I was at him because he had lied to me, how he had wasted my time, and that God hadn't put me there that morning. I told him it was you that put me here this morning and by lying to me about a microphone I wanted to buy, you punk. I added that. That was my own words. I told him that I would give him
$10. He's going to
give him
$10. I'll give you $10. I hate you. You're horrible. God did not put me here. Here's $10.
Here's $10 in the off chance that you really are hungry. But I don't believe that you're hungry, and I'm very disappointed in you, and that God would be the judge of you for lying to me. It was at this point he told me that he wasn't the guy on Facebook. Oh. I said, you told me you were that guy. And then he replied, well, I'm not. So then I just told him to drive away because he had gotten $10 out of me and I didn't want to talk to him ever again. So he drove off with his $10. And literally, right as he was pulling away, another beat up old Honda came and pulled up beside me. And another guy hopped out saying, I got a sob story for you.
Yeah.
And no, just kidding. He said, are you the guy who wanted a microphone? And I was completely gobsmacked. I said, you don't know that guy driving off, do you? Because he told me he was you, and he snickered me out of 10 bucks. I told the guy I had to go back to the bank and get another $10 because I now had only $40. If that other guy ever hears this, I'd like to say I'm sorry, and it was a case of mistaken identity, but we could have avoided all this if he had just been honest and not pretended to be the guy I was meeting. He could have literally assumed any other identity and gotten a better response from me than accidentally causing me to think he was involved in an elaborate plot to wake me up and early and get me out of the house, cash in hand, just to try to talk me out of it. Love your show and keep up the good work. Tiny from Earth Oddity Podcast, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Man, Tiny sounds like you, dude. He sounds like a nice guy. He's apologizing through our show to this guy who is trying. He is. He's apologizing to him through our show to the guy that was just, just makes me mad. He was being
here's $10. Go away. I never want to talk to you again.
God be with you.
God bless you. You
may he judge you to the depths of Hades if you are lying to me. But here's $10.
Here's $10. Just in the off chance.
Just in case. You do look a little hungry and your car is really crappy. But I'm really mad at you because you told me, that you were the Yeti guy. Oh, there's no way. I'm not good enough as a human to give somebody that I think totally jacked with me to tricked me into getting up in the morning and driving to the Target. I'm not giving that guy a dime. I'm sorry.
I would have been upset.
I would have, he would have not gotten 10 bucks out of me. So Tiny, I don't know, man. You and John, I look at y'all and I'm in wonder.
Wonder how we make it around, huh?
I wonder how you survive this long as in this world. But no, here. Speaking of accents, we got a good one for you. This one's coming to us from Jed, and this is called Fat Fear. So here we go.
Hey, James and John, love your show. Hey. My name is Jed, and just wanted to share this story with you guys. Me and my wife, we've been married for almost 5 years now. But this story takes place during our engagement. We didn't have a long engagement. We only were engaged for like 4 months. And we've always been Christians, always been good godly people, even our relationship. So we were godly in our relationship,
Yeah, we get it. You didn't do it, okay? We get it. Okay. We get it, buddy. You can just be proud of it. You can just say it. I mean, after all the holiness that we've heard from John and Tiny, we got Jed here who kept it real till he got married. That's good.
He's a theme to this show, isn't there? I walk on water in my spare time.
I do. Anyway.
Okay, Jed.
I know this is a clean podcast, so I'll leave it at that.
He didn't even say anything, and he's apologizing. I'm
okay.
I did not have relations with that woman, but I know it's a clean podcast, so I'm not going to talk about it. So it was important enough to bring up, but I don't want to mention it on your show.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sure that this will come into handy for the rest of the story here. I'm sure it's
that's what I'm thinking too. I got a hot sweat coming out of my forehead for some reason. Like somebody's staring at me in church.
Before John passes out, let's finish this one.
And but as we were engaged, my wife wanted to get some medicine for the wedding night. And
okay, so it's some more talk.
What?
He wants to get some medicine for the wedding night. What kind of medicine could he be just say birth control, Jed. It's okay.
I don't know.
That's the kind of medication he's talking about, but man, he's playing it nice. You super Christians are about to drive me up the wall. It's oh, just say it. It's okay.
Thereafter. And so she was on new medication that she's never taken before.
We get it.
But we went on a date, and it was at Olive Garden. And at Olive Garden, they've got that little dessert booklet.
They got breadsticks. Yes,
it was open or something, or somehow my wife saw, or my fiance at the time saw, that it had chocolate, some kind of chocolate cake. It was like a chocolate cheesecake or something or another. Looked really, really delicious. And my wife loves chocolate. Absolutely loves it. So yeah,
but she never had any. Never did. It's a clean podcast, so we're just not gonna leave it at that. She never partook
face dirty
of the chocolate cake. Okay. Just letting you know.
She looks at it and she's kind of fawning over it and she goes, "Boy, I'd like to get that." And of course me, I was like, "Go get it if you want it. I don't care. Just get it." And she's like, "Well," she's like, "I don't."
Is this a metaphor I'm missing? I'd like to get that.
What?
I don't know. I'm just going down the wrong path on this one.
Yeah.
they're about to get married. And I'm wondering if this is a metaphor, if he's just trying to be subtle, like there really is no Olive Garden.
No Olive Garden.
This is just she's on this medication, and now there's this temptation of chocolate cake, and she wants some of that, and he says, "Well, just get it." And I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, let's just figure it out. Maybe he's for real.
I don't think I need it. And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And my wife was like super skinny. She's super small, super skinny. So I was like, "Why don't you get it?" And I thought maybe she was going to say something about not being able to fit in her dress or whatever. So I was kind of ready for that. But she said, "Well," she said, "this new medication I'm on, I'm worried that it's one of the side effects." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She says, "One of the side effects that it might make you fat." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, what do you mean? Like, what symptoms? And she said, "Well, fatigue."
And fatigue?
Me, fatigue, I was like, I kind of had a puzzled look because I thought, "Are you talking about like you're not going to be able, like you're going to be sleepy, like tired? You're not going to like it's going like you it's just going to sit on you while you sleep or something?" Or I was trying to think of all possibilities, and then it dawned on me. She said, "No, fatigue means that it makes you fat." The only thing I could think of, she's seen the word fat in the word fatigue.
She saw the word.
That's the reason why she thought it would make her fat. So anyway, trying to hold back the laugh and not make fun of her too much.
Don't let it out. But
I still tell this story off and on occasion because it's still it's pretty pretty golden. So hope you guys enjoyed it and keep up the good work, guys.
Goodness. I'm sure they're still saving themselves even after the marriage. That's how holy they are. But goodness gracious.
Fatigue. I'm a real fatigued man.
See, and when the first time I listened to it, I knew that he had mentioned all of this premarital stuff on purpose. I had it in my head that all of that must have had something to do with the cake, you know, that we were chaste and she's on this medication, this special marriage medication. And, and I knew it had to come into play somewhere. And so when she was talking about fatigue, I started laughing to myself off camera because I'm like, well, yeah, you do get sleepy afterwards. But apparently chocolate cake was really chocolate cake and not temptation. So
you were reading into the story
why was I not supposed to? There was so much innuendo in there. It's not even funny. He started it off with that. I don't know. I don't understand. But anyway, this one's called, it's from Nathan, Bounce House Bloodbath. And this one's grosser than gross and the worstest story ever.
Wait, is it worse than getting a shower from a sponge?
Yes.
Filled with
yes.
Sweat?
Oh, you just don't even know. When our daughter,
I can listen,
was 8, our church was having its annual business meeting and had rented a Jolly Jump bounce house to keep the kids entertained. About halfway through the meeting, one of the childcare workers frantically motioned for my wife and I, hey, come step out of the sanctuary. Your daughter needs you. We pride ourselves on keeping level heads. So without saying a word, we both decided to give this worker a bit of perspective by casually making our way out of the back area of the church. And when the worker noticed our gait did not match her intensity, she said, I would run if I were you. So we took the hint and started sprinting, and they directed us to the kitchen where we found our daughter in the kitchen with blood running from her mouth to the ground. Now, at this time, she had lost 2 of her top front baby teeth, and one of those, an adult tooth, had grown in. This adult tooth was now dangling sideways in front of her open mouth, holding on by a single piece of gummy flesh that attached halfway up the tooth. Grown-up teeth.
Thank you for singing that.
Grown-up teeth are long. So apparently she had been jumping in the bounce house while holding on to the net side. Her feet slipped out from under her, and the net went behind her front 4 teeth on top and flossed them forward out of her mouth.
Stop.
Completely removing the 2 remaining baby teeth and leaving the grown-up tooth to dangle.
Put a sound bite in there.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
That hot sweat that I had earlier is turned into a full-on sweat.
Oh, we threw her in the car and made sure someone was watching her younger brother, and we drove to the emergency room. Now, if anyone should have an iron countenance, you would think it would be the emergency room nurse. They've seen it all, right? But from the moment we arrived till we left the hospital, every single nurse that looked at my gory little girl visibly winced. Can you please keep it together for my daughter, who was obviously terrified? I wanted to yell at every one of them. Finally, the doctor arrived and was surprised that we hadn't just tried to put the adult tooth back in the socket. So casually and confidently, the doctor grabbed the tooth and told me to grab my daughter's hand, and he shoved it back in where it came from. And he guessed there would be a 50% viability on that tooth.
What?
But she's 17. I know. She's 17 now, and the tooth remains. Back at the church, a high schooler dutifully searched the grass surrounding the Jolly Jump for 2 baby teeth, but came up short. Miraculously, the tooth fairy ignored her standard no tooth nor quarter rule and put a little something extra under my daughter's pillow. It was many years before the inflatable appeared at church grounds again, Nathan. Gosh. Thank you for sharing, Nathan. We love you.
Yeah, Nathan, thanks. My mouth hurts, and now I just imagine his 17-year-old daughter only has one tooth.
Hey, Mom!
Miraculously, it still remains.
I want some chocolate cake. I'm marrying my boyfriend.
Oh,
I just made fun of Jeb's wife. I'm sorry,
that's
Jeb.
Not nice.
I didn't mean to. Just imagining this one giant tooth lady.
So. I'm feeling some fatigue coming on. I need to go on a diet.
Oh, man.
That was a great story. Both of them were.
Yes, they were. And I apologize for my mind. It's just, I think it's in rebellion to John's purity. I really do.
You're making up for it. Listen, I am not a saint. Although
that's what a saint would say, John. That's exactly what they would say.
Well, we have time for yes. Mrs. Dist.
Yes, Miss Dist.
Miss Dist. So this comes to us from Nate. The other night, my wife called to chat, and she walked out of to her car after getting out of work. And at one point, she said, "Hold on, I got to get my pepper spray. There's a weird guy over there." I tried to assure her that she had nothing to worry about, but she retorted, "But what if he's a pedophile?" And so now I had to choose my next words carefully. So I said, "Honey, you're 31.
You're a little out.
You have to worry about pedophiles trying to get you.
A little out of the age range there."
So then she couldn't make up her mind if she was more mad at me for saying that she said something stupid or if that I inferred that she's old. So
I think she should be mad at him for her saying something stupid because
what if he's a pedophile?
What if he's a pedophile? Well, you got nothing to worry about.
You're fine, old lady.
It's the one time it's okay.
It's just going to get my pepper spray just in case.
Going to get it out. I have super spicy. I have aged pepper spray. I have this very special kind with diamond dust in it that's supposed to embed itself into the
this
eyes.
This is just hot sauce. This is a Frank's Red Hot bottle.
This is just it's just tear gas that I have in my purse that I save for the peds, for the pedophiles. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to be near a pedophile. But if one was walking past me, I don't think I would be the target audience there. So anyway, this is a voicemail from Sarah. It's called God's Tweet. Goes something like this.
This story is short and needs to be an audio version. So here it goes. The teacher in our church class asked an adult to say an opening prayer. The man stood up and started, "Our dear Father in heaven, woohoo." A text notification came from the man's pocket. The room full of adults tried not to laugh, but we all learned that day that sometimes God communicates through cell phones.
Does he now?
Hope you like the story.
So thank you, Sarah.
I love it.
Short and sweet, and that is a great way to end out on this wacky, zany, holier-than-thou episode of That Story Show. Woohoo is right! Dear Heavenly Father, I'm listening. Anyway, hey, do you have a funny story about Craigslist or being scammed by God? Do you have a story that makes James think you're talking about stuff you're not supposed to be talking about? Or whatever, I don't know. Send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Also, if we read your story, we owe you a sticker. So send your address to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Our Instagram is @thatstoryshow. Follow us on there. We got some good stuff going on during the week. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. And if you like the show, check out Red School Bus. It is great, and it's a lot more like, it's a lot like this. It's just me and my daughter. And
yeah.
And it's fun for the whole family. So thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Zane Estrada, Janu Striesbeck, and Carrie Wright. Become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, if something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or premarital happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. John's still laughing.
Sorry. Sorry.
He's giggling like a schoolboy. A schoolboy who changed his answer on his test because he found out it was right.
But I could have been caught. I would rather lose a point on the test than be accused of cheating when I didn't.
You're a hot mess, John. That's all I'm going to say.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.